action.
Hey there, movie kings and queens. Welcome to episode 86 of the Real Game Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me as always, the light in my house, but I'm not going to say whether it's the brightest or the dullest, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
Thanks for that strange introduction, Mike.
It's appropriate for the movie.
It is. It's something.
It's something. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Little tired. We're recording on Sunday today, which is different than usual, but I drove to Washington, D.C. To see my friend Tom Goss perform and got to play on stage with him for a little bit, but then drove back the next day. So that's a lot of driving from Columbus to D.C. and back. But how was your weekend?
It's great. I had a good weekend. I'm also tired. We're not supposed to record on the Sabbath. I think that's a biblical law, right? It's not the only sin I've committed, though, today.
Amen. All right. So, last week, we got the final trailer for Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. It forced me to watch some football.
Forced.
which I know I could have, like, waited a minute after they had broadcast it live and just gotten online, because I did then watch it several times afterwards.
You don't say.
What?
You?
I was a little, I'll tell you what, I was a little pissed because tickets were supposed to go on sale after they played the trailer, and they ended up going on sale before they even played it. So
as we were wrapping up recording last week's episode,
that's right. Yeah.
To be exact.
Yeah. So then I'm getting into queues. You're in line to get your tickets. And I did get tickets. I know you did too. We texted back and forth on that. But so 6:30 at Thursday the 19th, that pre-show opening night. So I know you got in a half hour before me.
Yep. I'm going to text you spoilers throughout.
Sure. Somebody will kick you out for pulling your phone out. But let's talk about the trailer a little bit.
Okay.
I know how I feel, but how did you feel about the trailer?
I mean, I do appreciate how I don't feel like it really gave much away. I feel like still don't know a ton about what's going to happen, which makes me happy. I liked it. I thought it was good. I really like the locations that we're getting.
Yeah.
Especially the remnants of the Death Star.
Yeah, the Death Star 2 wreckage.
That's a really cool place to go back to.
It's a great way to tie it all together, not technically have another Death Star, you know what I mean?
It looked like that was the Emperor that is looking down at Rey towards the end of the trailer, which is,
yeah.
I'm really excited for his return.
I mean, he definitely had some part of the voiceover. Because they don't show the face of who's in that cloak. One theory is that that's actually the dark Rey that we saw in that last teaser trailer.
I would be surprised.
I would too, to be honest. I don't buy that theory, but it's just one of the theories that's out there.
And we didn't get a second glimpse of Dark Rey this one, which makes me think that might have been a little bit of deception in that last trailer.
I definitely don't think it's as significant as people may want it to be.
It's either some sort of clone or maybe a flashback to her pre-Force Awakens times. Maybe she was dark-sided before and then got her memory erased or something. I don't know.
Possibly. I think it's more a vision of what could be.
Yeah, but I definitely don't think it's going to be how she ends up.
Yeah, I agree. Some people were complaining that after watching this trailer, they still don't have a clear idea of what the story is, that it was just a collection of, you know, scenes and visions. And,
great.
And, maybe that's true if you hadn't seen any of these movies yet, but I don't know. I think if you've seen the last two movies, you have an idea of where the story is going with what they show. But without it being...
Not necessarily. I don't really feel like I have a clear grasp of where the story is going. And I like that. I like that we've gotten this much footage and I don't really know what's going to happen in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's people were just, from what I'd been hearing, just like wanting to know just what is the...
Well, Star Wars fans can be really bad about that, about wanting so badly to know everything about the movie before they see the movie.
And then getting pissed when they find out so much.
And theorizing a million things about what they want to happen in the movie. And then when things don't pan out the way they want,
yeah,
get really pissy and fussy about it. But I'll say this, I like that. I mean, even leading up to Avengers Endgame earlier this year, we went into it not necessarily knowing how it was going to end, but we definitely, everyone knew that the characters who had been snapped out of existence were coming back.
Right.
Like, we all knew that was going to happen in some way, shape, or form. We may not have known exactly how that would have happened, but we knew it was going to. Whereas, I feel like anything is up for grabs with this movie.
That is exciting.
And exactly. Like, I have no idea how this saga is going to end. I don't know who will be alive, who won't. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
And I am very excited by that prospect. I know there is the notion that it is going to have a definitive ending to this 9-chapter saga we've
had.
Right, right. But other than that, I like kind of being, you know, in the dark about it, not really knowing.
Yeah. I was a little surprised that we didn't get any Knights of Ren footage, because the marketing's been kind of hyping that with, like, in Entertainment Weekly and stuff, showing pictures of the Knights of Ren and the toys that have been coming out and stuff. But I was a little shocked that they didn't show any of the Knights of Ren in the trailer. So I was a little surprised that we didn't get more of Carrie Russell's character in the trailer. You do see her in one scene, which is the scene that had me crying. C-3PO talking about seeing his friends for the last time.
Yeah, but if we look back to Last Jedi, I feel like I heard similar things about Benicio del Toro, his character, and not seeing much of him. And then when we saw the movie, it's like, oh, that's why, because it was just he was there, he played a role, but
that's,
like,
fair.
It's not, yeah. I feel like we're not going to be introduced to characters in this. I don't think that are
going to have major significant roles.
Right. Cause why would, again, if this is to wrap up this 9-chapter saga, why would you introduce a hypercritical character at the very end? I think that would be a poor choice. Like, yes, Carrie Russell's character may play a part in this particular part of the story, but I think it would be a bad move to reveal some big major new character. Like, I want to see the stories of the characters we already know and have developed relationships with and feelings for. I want to see them get their stories wrapped up. I don't want to necessarily get to know a bunch of new people.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair.
So
I was glad to see a little bit more of Lando.
Yeah. So not seeing, you know, all these new characters in the trailer didn't really bug me or anything. I'm not too concerned about them. I think they'll just get little parts and not have it be anything more than that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, less than 2 months away now. So
I know. I'm very excited. I can't wait.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm equally as excited for November to come around, because we've got the Star Wars video game and we got the Mandalorian hitting. So, very excited about all of that. All right, so let's go ahead and start talking about the movie we saw this week, which is The Lighthouse. Quick synopsis, because I don't know that many people will know about this movie. It's about the hypnotic and hallucinatory tale.
Is that a word?
Apparently.
Hallucinatory?
Hallucinatory. The hypnotic and hallucinatory tale.
That's a bad word. Why would anyone use that word?
I don't know. It's a weird word.
The tale.
The tale of two lighthouse keepers on a remote and mysterious New England island in the 1890s. That is extremely vague and hallucinatory. Directed by Robert Eggers.
Yes.
Is that how he pronounces it, I believe? Who also did The Witch.
Yep.
Which, true to our conversation last week, I have not watched it.
Oh, you still haven't?
No. I was going to wait until... for one, I just didn't have time after I watched The Lighthouse to watch it. But so I will I'll give my opinions on that in a later episode.
Okay.
But I do fully intend. I'm even more interested now in watching that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm super excited to hear what you think of this one.
Okay.
Tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
One. Yeah, I've been dying to know what your thoughts are.
I really liked it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a little surprised in a very happy way.
Yeah. So was I. I mean, for one, I'm not a big advocate of black and white movies in the day of now of all this beautiful cinematography and all that, sure. All that kind of stuff. And the aspect ratio of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is essentially, I think it was like, 1 point something by one. I mean, it was basically square.
Square, yeah.
But for it worked so well for this movie.
Yeah, it really gave. And I mean, maybe we should go ahead and say just spoiler warning. Like, we will give general thoughts, but I think it's gonna be hard to even give many general thoughts without spoiling something. So a soft spoiler warning that something you may not want to know may get spoiled before we give an official spoiler warning.
Yeah.
But like, it's hard to talk about this one, I feel like, without giving some stuff away.
So, to finish off just my general thoughts, again, very surprised at how I felt walking out of the theater. If you're at all curious about this movie, whether you've seen The Witch or not, it is worth taking it in a theater and just seeing it up on the big screen. I really enjoyed this movie. So it's got a recommendation from me. So what were your thoughts?
I mean, I left it thinking this is definitely not a movie I would recommend everyone to see.
Okay. Fair.
Because I don't think it has a mass audience appeal, but I think it is a very interesting movie and it's very well made, and I'm still grappling with what I fully think about it. I was struggling with what I was going to rate it, and I'm giving it the lower of the two I was going for, thinking I may, as I watch this movie on multiple viewings, bump that up.
That's the thing is, I definitely want to see this again.
Yeah. The performances by Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe are outstanding, truly incredible. Like, I only really knew Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies.
Okay.
I know he's done a ton of other stuff, yeah. Mostly in like the indie world. I have not seen a lot of what he has done. So this was kind of an introduction to him, reintroduction to him, I guess. As a more serious actor. And seeing him in this makes me much more excited to see him as Batman.
Yeah.
I can definitely see it because he has that really dark side in this movie, which is a really cool thing to see. I liked the way, because it wasn't just that it was black and white and not just the like square look to it. I think that what those things did, they actually had a purpose. I think they served to make this setting feel more claustrophobic.
Yeah, exactly.
And to give that sense of like, yeah, being stuck and all that. And right. I think
they were trapped and they wanted you to feel that way too.
And I think that helped with that feeling. Whereas if it had been wide and in color, I think you lose some of that.
Yeah. like I didn't take to it like right away. It took a little bit at the, you know, getting into the movie before I really kind of, it hit me like, oh, I see what they're doing with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what's great is that it worked in the way that, you understand right away, very quickly, what the filmmaker is going for.
And, yeah.
You didn't have to know that going into it.
Yeah. And the debate that, so I saw it with a friend of mine who's visiting town this weekend, and a conversation we had, not really a debate, was whether or not this could be considered or should be considered a horror movie.
Oh, that's a good question.
So I guess before I get into what our conversation was, what are your thoughts on that? So I feel like it's definitely been marketed kind of as a horror movie.
I think it has been, but I don't personally consider it a horror movie. I mean, it's creepy, but I would put it more as psychological thriller.
See, I feel like people throw, my position is, I feel like people throw around that term thriller a lot. I feel like thriller has become almost too encompassing of too many things. I would consider it a horror because I guess for me, the...
Well, I mean, it's kind of Hitchcockian. Well...
Okay. For me, I guess the question I ask going out of a movie, whether or not I would consider it a horror, is did it feel like it was a nightmare? And well, this movie feels like it was a nightmare.
That's true. That's like, true.
That, it's the same with, I've heard similar conversations about a movie like Get Out, for example.
Yeah.
Like, if you were in the main character's shoes
yeah.
throughout that movie, you would be in a living nightmare. So yeah, that's a horror movie. If you're in...
That's an interesting either perspective.
Either of these characters' shoes throughout this movie, it would feel like you're in a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I land on. Yeah. I do feel like it is. And I think a lot of people want those kind of... right before we start recording, we were talking about Happy Death Day and the sequel. I just watched the sequel to that earlier today. And... something like that has more of those jump scares or a killer or a ghost or something like that. I think people think of that as horror. I think of horror as something that is like almost putting you in the setting of a nightmare. And this truly is. It's very creepy in that way.
I'm going to use that way of thinking from now on.
And it's horrific. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I like that kind of horror movie. It's similar to the way I kind of felt about Midsommar earlier this summer. Middle of the summer, actually. But it's kind of similar in that I felt like that movie as it unfolded was just revealing more and more of how it was this kind of living nightmare. That's how this movie felt. Like the more we saw, the more we got to experience, the more it's like, oh, that feeling of being trapped or that feeling of starting to go crazy sets in.
Yeah.
And I really like how this director does that, both in The Witch and now in this movie as well.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, after seeing this, I'm more excited to check out The Witch. Now, somebody else that I had talked to said that he felt like watching The Witch and watching this, that he himself would not have been able to say the same director did both of those movies. So what are your thoughts there?
I think there are definitely some things that show, there's definitely some things in both of these that tie that together being from the same filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think this
not a shared universe.
Right. I think this filmmaker, like Robert Eggers, it's seen, at least based on just two movies so far, it seems like he really likes to have a very visually captivating movie.
Uh-huh.
So lots of very striking images. He does a lot of really cool things with lighting and framing shots and everything that really is interesting. And specifically... having a final shot of the movie that is really striking.
Uh-huh.
again, not going to get into spoilers yet, but both The Witch and this movie, the final shot is just very like, bam. Like it's,
yeah.
It's just, yeah. Like more than almost any shot in the movie, I remember the final shot of this movie.
Yeah. He also, did a good job with sound. Like there's constantly like a horn kind of sound that,
yeah.
that's going off in this movie. And it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
And I think it was supposed to, because imagine actually being there and just hearing that all the time.
Yeah.
Like that has to have been something that could have made these characters, you know, just go a little nuts.
Yeah.
And what I also liked about this movie is it's never truly explained if the stuff that Robert Pattinson's character is seeing is real or all in his head.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that it's left up to the viewer's interpretation to decide, was he going crazy or was he in a crazy situation?
Yeah. It's an interesting difference between The Witch and this movie. So The Witch also has you wondering throughout the movie whether or not there's truly some crazy out there stuff happening.
Yeah.
Or whether it's some more grounded explanation. And at the end of that movie, we do get a very definitive answer.
Okay.
This movie, even till the end, we don't.
Yeah.
So I feel like this movie does leave more for us to talk about what we think happened.
Yeah.
Whereas The Witch very much ends with a, yep, here was the right answer. Here's what actually happened. And it kind of gives you that, whereas I don't feel like he gives us that with this movie.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think any of like the weird images that we see are seen through Robert Pattinson's eyes, right?
Yeah. And you mean like supernatural kind of things? Yeah.
Yeah. So when it's just one person that you see experiencing this, it makes it you know, easier for it to kind of be left up to interpretation and not, you know, if Willem Dafoe's character was seeing this stuff too, it would make it seem more like it was definitively real.
Well, not only that, I'll say, and before we get into more of the spoilers, I do think the dialogue in this movie is really great. And that's what propels the story.
Yeah.
Is the dialogue between the characters. And it was the same in The Witch. The dialogue is what propels a story. And Robert Eggers did a lot of research to try to figure out like there are parts where they sound kind of like stereotypical, like sea captains.
Right.
But,
and Bostonites.
Right. But he actually did a lot of research as to how these people actually would have spoken if they had existed. So there is that kind of, periodic authenticity that you can tell is there, but the dialogue between them is just so great. It's a great screenplay. Now, having all said all that, and full spoilers now, I do feel like everything supernatural that Robert Pattinson sees is him going mad. I don't think it actually happens, because pretty much everything that he sees are things that Willem Dafoe kind of puts into his head.
So
he tells him stories about these mermaids. He tells him stories about the birds and not harming them.
Yeah.
Like he kind of plants a lot of that stuff into Robert Pattinson's mind. So as Robert Pattinson starts going crazy, he starts actually seeing these things.
And that's where my head was going with it too. And there was also the aspect of when originally, you know, Willem Dafoe's character is drinking and Robert Pattinson's character is like, no, it's against the rules. But once he starts drinking along with him, I think it gets worse.
Yeah.
The visions that...
You don't think it does. It does.
No, well, yeah. Well, I was thinking like, I couldn't remember if he was really seeing any of that stuff before he started.
No, it was all pretty normal before that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And I think that was a sign of just kind of Robert Pattinson's starting to like, you can tell he was just trying to like, okay, I'm here for a few weeks. I'm going to do this job. Just going to focus on that. I'm going to follow the rules.
And yeah.
There's something about that character that, well, probably a lot of things, but there's something about him we don't know about his past.
Yeah.
Because he uses the fake name of a former coworker who just happens to be dead.
Right.
We don't even find out how, do we?
Yeah. He was talking about the, he fell into like the logger or something like that.
Yeah. Convinced that Robert Pattinson didn't kill him. And that's why.
Right.
Yeah. But took his name, really trying to follow the rules, not drink.
Yeah.
Like trying to, goes into a job where like a, he even says he never worked in a lighthouse before. He just took this job. It almost seems like he's a character on the run away from something.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's not something much darker about his past that would lead you to think, oh yeah, he's prone to go a little crazy if given that little nudge.
Maybe we'll get a prequel.
Maybe, who knows?
So one of the things that I found on Wikipedia, which I didn't catch this watching the movie, but apparently that seagull that that he ends up killing, that keeps kind of tormenting him, had one eye. Did you catch that?
No.
Okay.
Is there a significance there?
Well, just thinking about the end scene where he's seen then with one of his eyes plucked out by the seagulls, almost like taking revenge. I just didn't know if maybe there was some type of symmetry or connection that was supposed to be made there. But that's one of the things where, like, now if I watch it again, I want to see, did that seagull really just have one eye? Because it seems to me like if that were the case, there's something significant probably about that. But I don't know. So you mentioned making this movie makes you a little bit more looking forward to seeing Robert Pattinson as Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about this or not, but he was kind of trolling a little bit, saying that Willem Dafoe's character in this movie was the inspiration for the voice that he'll be using as Batman.
Okay.
It's a joke, obviously. Oh,
okay.
I mean, could you imagine if he was doing that like pirate type voice as Batman?
Would be a choice.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was
funny. Oh, okay. There was going to be more to that.
So a word that comes to my mind with this movie, see if you can follow me on this. This movie is kind of masturbatory.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of that in the movie.
There was. And even like one of the scenes where Pattinson is walking up to the lighthouse and sees Willem Dafoe up there naked, and then he turns into the tentacle creature or whatever. It almost looks like he was masturbating and then stuff was coming out. It was just like, it was very weird that kind of was a theme, an ongoing theme in this movie.
Masturbating?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. It just,
I wouldn't describe it as a theme as much as a thing that happened a few times.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're, what else are you going to do?
Right. Now, story-wise, I do feel like, me and my friend who saw it, we were talking less about the masturbation and more about what we think actually happened in this movie.
Okay.
And, I don't know, part of me, I wonder if Willem Dafoe's character was just like fucking with him the whole time and trying to push him to go crazy. Cause apparently the person who was in Robert Pattinson's role before Robert Pattinson went crazy and died somehow. Yeah. I wonder if there's not something to that. If Willem Dafoe was trying to do stuff to push him over the edge. What do you think?
I mean, it seems like he definitely enjoyed fucking with the guy. And so I think that the guy that Pattinson replaced, I think he did die, but probably actually died of natural causes or fell off the rock or something like that. I don't know. I think he is like really kind of fucking with him. But I don't think that Willem Dafoe actually killed the other guy.
No, I don't think that. But I think Willem Dafoe character, his character is a little nuts too.
Oh, he's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. And I think that he has probably driven some of his folks, his coworkers crazy before.
To suicide maybe?
But I think Robert Pattinson's character, I think there's something to him before this movie. He was like a serial killer or something before this.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe probably just thinks he's this young kid who's getting his start and doesn't realize how much craziness
is already in this.
Has already happened before.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think that's kind of the thing about this movie is Willem Dafoe's coming at Robert Pattinson. Like, I'm the old grizzled guy who's seen a lot and done a lot and knows everything. Whereas Robert Pattinson has probably seen and done some stuff that would shock Willem Dafoe's character. And I think that's kind of, I don't know, an interesting thing. And I don't know. I don't know if you want to talk about the like end or the ending now.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But this movie ends kind of abruptly. So Robert Pattinson kills Willem Dafoe and then finally gets up to the lighthouse to look at what's up in the top of the lighthouse. And then falls down it. And then it just cuts to a shot of him laying on rocks beside the lighthouse with...
All of a sudden he's naked.
A bird pecking at his insides.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. What do you make of all that?
For one, I'm glad that we don't see whatever it is that he's seeing. It was... I don't know. It was an odd transition for me just... He falls down the stairs and then all of a sudden he's outside and naked and, you know, it's like, how did he get there? I don't know if that even matters. I don't think it really does, but I found it to be a little bit of an odd transition, but it's almost like the sea and the like they were getting their revenge on him or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like maybe what he saw in the lighthouse at the top was maybe not as, I don't think it was anything supernatural. I think it might've just been
super bright,
a lighthouse. Like, I think it might've just been that. And he realized, I think maybe at that point he realizes that he has gone mad, which can probably be a really intense feeling to feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what causes him to kind of fall or whatever. And maybe that final shot isn't what's actually happening. Maybe it's kind of a visual representation of everything that has been inside of him being eaten away by these crazy thoughts that he's had or these feelings he's had. And it's just a visual representation. I try sometimes. This is with no weed in my system or anything, by the way. But maybe it's a visual representation of this island and all these things have been eating away at him figuratively throughout this movie. And this is just a final, really visual way to depict how the effect of the events of this movie have had on him.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Cause I mean, they obviously with like the mermaids and all that, they make it seem like they're supernatural type stuff. And when he finally gets up there, the light stops moving on its own and the door to the light opens up for him to see. So we're seeing, I think, how he's perceiving it to happen. But I think you're right. I don't think that there was any actual supernatural going on there.
Yeah. I think he's just a messed up dude who, I don't know.
Speaking of mermaids, can I just say I did not need to see mermaid vagina?
Well, no one needs to see a mermaid vagina, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you see Robert Pattinson fucking a mermaid.
Yep.
And it's just the way the world works sometimes.
Can I just say also that even like being kind of dirty and unkempt, Robert Pattinson's a good looking dude.
He is. He's very attractive in this movie.
Yeah.
You looked great.
Yeah. Even like he just kind of had that like. That hot worker kind of look. Do you know what I'm saying?
That common day laborer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he was very attractive in this. Again, really got me excited to see him headline the Batman.
It's really interesting how both he and Kristen Stewart, when they break off from like mainstream movies, how they are really critically liked.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's breaking off from mainstream movies specifically. I think it's breaking off from the Twilight series, because those were just really bad movies.
Maybe, but I'm not hearing the best things about Kristen Stewart in, like, wasn't that well received in The Huntsman, and I don't think she's being that well received in Charlie's Angels. But when she's done more indie kind of things,
well, I don't know if that's a Kristen Stewart thing or a indie movie versus big blockbuster kind of thing.
Yeah,
because a lot of these big blockbusters, I mean, I don't think that's something that's a Kristen Stewart specific.
Gotcha. Thing. Okay.
I would argue that big blockbusters, for the most part, are not seen as critically well received as
period.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. With some exceptions, but for the most part, no.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we get to our takes?
Sure. Why not?
You got anything? I mean, we already talked about the end of the movie.
Yeah, so. I don't think I have anything else.
Okay.
Although I will say this, I would not recommend this to everyone. I think this is a very niche film. I don't think everyone will particularly enjoy it. So if you see the previews for this and you're drawn to it, go see it. If you think, I don't know if it's for me, then maybe don't, because it may not be.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Now, before we get into takes, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about box office.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, this wasn't a huge box office hit, but I don't think it's meant to be. It made $3 million, but I know you made note of, and I saw as well, and I kind of predicted this last week, podcast, that even though Maleficent got first place last week and finally dethroned Joker, that Joker would bounce back into the first place spot this week, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah, by like $0.4 million, Joker came in at 18.9 and Maleficent at 18.5. Lighthouse came in 8th. Like you said, at 3.1, but I have not been able to find what the budget was on The Lighthouse, and I can't imagine it was very much.
No.
I imagine
it's going to make money. It's going to make money. It can't cost that much to make. And if there are any kind of, I don't know if it's going to get any kind of award nominations, I would bet it's not. If I were a betting man.
Okay, I wanted to ask you what you thought about that. I mean, I don't know. I maybe Golden Globe.
I don't know. No,
I take that back.
There's so many other things, especially with the actor race this year, which I think would be the biggest thing it would be competitive for. There's just so much. There's so many things. I don't know if this will stick around long enough to get into that kind of conversation. I'd be happy if it did, but I don't think it will.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
We'll see. I'd like to see it get some recognition, but
now you want to guess Rotten Tomatoes?
Sure. This seems like the kind of movie that, like, I mean, I heard good critic things from this, so I imagine it's pretty high. It's 89%.
Close. It's actually 92%.
Oh, okay.
But and then this is why I wouldn't recommend everyone to go see it. The audience score is only 78, which is low for Rotten Tomatoes, because these are people who self-select to go to the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of people just don't get it, or it's not for them, or they're expecting a more traditional horror movie. And not expecting this more, I would argue, artistic kind of film.
Yeah.
So anyway, takes.
All right,
takes. Gayest take. What's yours?
So I feel like buried inside this movie is a less creepy, like Brokeback Mountain type movie.
They started to hint to that a little bit.
Yeah. It just seemed like these two lonely guys just kind of... So it kind of had that vibe. Like, if it wasn't as weird, it could have gone that direction.
I mean, that's my gaze take. If I were stuck on a lighthouse with another guy, I'd 100% try to hook up with him. Almost regardless of, like...
I was going to say, if it was Willem Dafoe or...
Honestly, 4 weeks, it turns into 5 weeks. It's unclear how long they're there. I probably would. I mean, just, you get bored.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
It's like one of those Grindr hookups that you show up and you're like, well, I'm here.
Well, it's one of those things. Hey, if it's going to keep me sane and keep me from murdering somebody or seeing mermaids... in a crazy hallucination, then why the hell not?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So that's my gayest take. Shadiest take. What shade do you have to throw?
So my shade kind of goes a little bit against kind of what you've actually been saying about this movie, about it maybe not being for everyone, which, I mean, sure. I guess I agree with that. But so it opened in only 8 theaters in its first week, and it only expanded to 586 theaters for week 2. I feel like we're constantly hearing people say that there's not enough originality in Hollywood, or Hollywood's not putting out enough movies that aren't sequels or franchises or reboots and stuff like that. So I kind of feel like I when you've got movies coming out like this, maybe it should be given a little bit more of a shot to be seen by more people.
Yeah, I get that. So it was only at about 600 theaters as compared to, you know, bigger movies that get put in like 3,000 or so,
yeah.
3,000 to 4,000. So if you extrapolate that, it could have made, you know, maybe $20 million in its first week or something like that.
I mean, so if you take that opening weekend of $427,797 and break that up per screen, that's like $53,000 per screen.
But you also got to imagine that they strategically released it in cities and places where they knew there would be more people who are, you know, going to see a movie like that. Yeah. That's not a movie that just everyone's going to go see.
I still feel like if it had gone out to more screens, it would have still done better.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. They may still expand it. They may just do a word of mouth and keep expanding it to more and more theaters and see. I think that's not always a bad idea.
Yeah. If they want to try and get some Oscar love for it, I could see them trying to put it out into more screens, say in November.
That truly doesn't matter, because there's only a small group of people who vote for awards and they have access to see this movie.
Well, I know, but I mean, popularity does kind of influence their votes a little bit.
I don't think it influences it that much. I think it can in some cases. I don't think that would make a huge difference, okay, personally. Disagree a little bit there, but yeah.
What's your shade?
My shade is that they teased us with them kissing and then they didn't kiss. Come on. We had to watch Robert Pattinson fuck a mermaid, but we can see two dudes kiss. Come on.
Yeah, right? Come on.
It's homophobic.
Very homophobic. Instead, they start to box and wrestle.
Which kind of hot.
Kind of hot.
Not mad at it.
No.
I'm not complaining here. We did get some Robert Pattinson butt.
I was just about to say butt that. Shot. Yeah, yeah.
That was
hot. We did get a butt shot.
I did like that.
Yeah, just after we got his O face.
Not the best butt. It's a little flat for my taste.
Well,
but it's fine.
It's still a butt.
Hopefully his bat butt's a little bigger.
Yeah.
You would think you'd have to do a lot of squats or something for Batman type physique you need.
Yeah, but those scenes where he's like shirtless and like shoveling the coal and
he's quite toned. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So Huslade and No Ma'am, I think, are going to be kind of weird for this movie.
Well, this movie has two characters.
If you don't include the mermaid.
Right. So I'll go ahead and say I don't have a No Ma'am, because
I don't either.
They're both great. But I will say my Slay, for me, has to go to Robert Pattinson.
Same.
Yeah, just because I expect that level of performance from Willem Dafoe. Like, he's great in this, but I also expect him to be great.
Yes.
I have not seen great Robert Pattinson before. I know, I've heard there is great Robert Pattinson out there. I have personally not seen it until this movie, and now that I have seen it, it brought me a great deal of joy and, again, excitement for the Batman.
Yes.
So because of that, and because I now have faith in his casting in this other movie I really want to see and am curious about, I have to give it to him. He's great in this movie.
He really is.
Really, really good.
Yeah. So I echo your sentiment exactly. And again, I also have no Ma'am.
Well, I feel like his character had a little more depth. I feel like Willem Dafoe's was a little, not one dimensional, but like he kind of was who he was throughout the movie. Whereas Robert Pattinson kind of revealed a little bit more and a little bit more about who his character was, which made for a lot of interesting acting choices on his part, I feel like.
So with where a drag queen would fit in here.
I mean.
Oh, so hear me out here. I struggled with this because I was of two minds here. One, the mermaid.
Which is where I went.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
there's three characters.
Yeah. So ultimately, that's where I fell. And it actually would have been kind of interesting then, too, to see Robert Pattinson having sex with a drag queen mermaid. But hear me out on this. What about Willem Dafoe's character?
No. Mike, there's three characters. I've considered all three. Trust me, I always give this category more thought than almost any other because I take it very seriously. No.
No.
Okay. No. No, 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 no. It's the mermaid.
It's the mermaid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't get crazy. What's your case for it?
If you kind of imagine that character as like very sassy, little crazy, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about drag queens, to be honest with you, to completely justify it. But I kind of,
you know what? I'm going to say I appreciate
my trying to think outside the box.
Yeah, it's a reach. I appreciate your reach around.
Thank you. Most people do. All right. Let's go ahead and rate this movie.
Okay. I'm very excited to hear what you rate it. I gave it 3. Reserving the right to bump that up at some point, because I think upon repeat viewings, I may appreciate it more. But for now, I'm going to give it 3. It was good. I like The Witch more. I think The Witch is a better movie. And I was a little, not disappointed, because I don't think that's the right word, but I was like, oh, I kind of wanted this to be, maybe I wanted it to be more similar to The Witch. I don't know, but I did like it. I feel like I need to see it more to fully appreciate it. So for now, I'm going to stick with 3. I may bump it up at some point.
So I think that with my not seeing The Witch and waiting to see it then now, was a benefit.
I told you it would be.
Yeah. Being able to think about this movie completely just as this movie. That being said, I gave it 3.5 reels.
Okay.
I actually, when I walked out, I was kind of leaning more towards 3. Not quite so much like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but this was one of those movies where after leaving and really thinking more about what I thought about this movie, I liked it more than I did after just walking out.
Okay.
So I'm glad I kind of sat on that a little bit. I sat on it and it got bigger. So went to 3.5 reels.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Glad we saw it.
Yeah, me too.
Glad you liked it. I was afraid that you'd be like, what the hell did you make me watch?
I feel like I've surprised you a couple times recently.
I know. It's been great. I like that.
All right. Well, so next week we are going to be talking about Terminator Dark Fate.
The Terminator. We'll do the whole review in this voice.
He is back.
And he is old.
Yeah.
Duh. That Linda Hamilton impression was spot on, by the way.
Thank you. I've been working on that. I'm glad that she's back too. So hopefully the first reactions have been good. So I'm hoping that that those hold true for my viewing experience.
Yeah, because these Terminator movies have been crap lately. They've been true garbage.
I'll be honest with you. I did not mind Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Oh, yeah. That one was fine. I mean the ones past that original trilogy.
Yeah.
I actually liked 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually didn't
How many has there been since? Has it been 2 or 3 since then?
Since then? Well, so...
Is this the third or fourth one?
This is... Well, this is Terminator 6, this is the third. Yeah.
I meant since that first trilogy.
Yeah.
So this is the
third. Okay. So we had Salvation, Genesis.
See, they need to number these.
They really do. You know what? That's actually one of my things with sequels in general. Like, I wish that they would use a number.
I mean, they don't always have to, but like, even they did a really good, cool thing where it was T2 Judgment Day. They could have kept that motif going. Yeah. It could have been T3 and T4.
They did do T3.
Okay, keep that going.
Yeah,
don't just give Rise us. And machine. Don't
give it the number
Don't just give us something that doesn't tell us. Like, truly, these. What is this one now? Dark Fate.
Yes.
What does that even mean? Who cares?
Like, I know.
Is there a Terminator movie that couldn't have the tagline Dark Fate?
Probably not.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not unique to anything. It just is whatever.
It is whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm looking forward to it. I feel like this is going to be another one that my mom is going to ask me to take her to.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. Rambo and Terminator. God love her. All right. Well, if you haven't already, become a real friend and follow us on Twitter @RealGay and @RealGayMovieShow on Instagram and Facebook. Make sure you slide on into our DMs. And wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. That is it for this week. Have a real gay day.